Hello and welcome to UK Car Cast, the podcast by non-sport trading car collectors for non-sport trading car collectors. I'm your host Paul Bynes and this is episode 26, Cats and Jacks. Hello and welcome to another episode. My apologies for a slight delay in getting this episode online, but there were a few technical issues I had to resolve. What have you got to look forward to? Well, in this episode, I talk to Billy Shipley of Happy Jack Collectibles about his ever-growing collection of artist promos produced exclusively for his company. I also talk to Marco Janssen of Catawiki, an interesting new web project for collectors of anything, including trading cards. You were originally going to have an interview with Chris Kersey as well. Chris Kersey, of course, of SketchCollectors.com, who is the podcast's regular correspondent on all things sketch. It's been such a long time since we had Chris on the podcast. There was an awful lot of catching up to do, and I really didn't want to cut anything out of the conversation I had with him. So instead of cropping him severely to fit into this episode, I'm going to allow him a little more free rein, and we're going to put him into episode 27, which will be out in a couple of weeks' time. An item of sad news. Many of you, I'm sure, will be aware of the artist Frank Frazetta, who died on May the 10th this year. Frank was a highly influential artist, probably best known for his work in comic books and on paperback book covers, though he also did a wide range of other artwork. He was involved with the Vampirella comic books and Conan, amongst many others, and there were quite a few card sets devoted to his artwork. He was greatly influential to a large number of current artists and will be sadly missed. And now, Billy Shipley of Happy Jack Collectibles. I've mentioned in past episodes Happy Jack Collectibles. They are a dealer run mainly selling online who do some interesting incentives for people to go and buy stuff from them. They do a series of sketch artist cards. Now, this is quite a sizable series now. And to talk about that and to talk about other activities that Happy Jack Collectibles are involved with, I've got Billy Shipley on the line all the way from Texas. Billy, hi. Welcome to UK Carcast.
How you doing? I'm glad to be here.
Hey, it's great to speak to you at last. As I mentioned in the chat we were having just before recording, we've mentioned you a few times and you've been very generous in sending me some of your cards, so I thought it was high time to have you on. Just before we get into talking about the artist cards, tell me a little about Happy Jack Collectibles. How long have you been going? How did you get started?
Well, I've been actually selling cards, main non-sport cards, for, I don't know, over 15 years on eBay. Mm. And suddenly a few years ago, a couple of years back, about 4 years, I decided to start Happy Jack Collectibles, and just now we sell over 1,000 promo cards and chase cards and all kinds of different cards, but it's all non-sport. There's no sports cards.
Which it's slightly unusual in the certainly in America in the card market, because most dealers would specialize in sports. I know there's an increasing range of non-sport cards out there, but it's unusual to be a specialist in that.
Yeah, I just collected them ever since I was a little kid, from, you know, Marvel cards and Star Wars cards, and I liked them, and I just kept liking them and really didn't get into sports. So that's what I started, you know, collecting. And suddenly my collection got so big, I decided to start selling them.
Yeah. You still collect on your own personal basis, do you? Or are you really now mainly into selling cards?
Mainly into selling them. I collect a few things here and there, like the sketch cards that the artist sent me. I keep those. Those are for myself, for my personal collection.
Mm. Now, you mentioned the sketch cards, and obviously I have been mentioning them in podcasts in the past. Now, these are cards that you've managed to get a variety of artists to do. How did you come up with the idea of getting these cards done?
Well, I really like the whole sketch card idea, and for some reason, we have a mascot. Happy Jack Collectibles has a mascot named Jack. It's basically just a girl wearing a jester's hat. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, why don't I start sending off and asking these sketch artists to draw their own version of a girl with a jester hat. Mm. And they started sending them in, and I decided I'm going to, you know, start giving these away at the store. You know, with somebody goes to the store, they make a purchase, and they get some of these cards for free. And now there's over 25 different cards now in the series, and it's ongoing. It's a never-ending promo card series.
Yeah, I mean, did you envision having much difficulty getting the artists to do these things? Because obviously when you started doing these things, there wasn't much in the way of sketch cards being put into packs or in sets. Now they've become a hot property.
Yeah, they sure have. I mean, I just basically, I told the artists, you know, also I offered them, if they send me a sketch card, I will print some cards up of their card, and I'll put all their information and contact information on the back, and I send them some of them also, and they can pass them out to their customers or fans or whatever.
Yeah, so it's a useful promotional tool for both Happy Jack and for the artists themselves.
Exactly, yeah. It's to help promote the sketch artists. I love art, and I love seeing all the different versions and different types that people come up with. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Now, you've got some quite big names lurking in amongst all of these cards, such as Nick Neoclius and Liam Mang. Are some artists more difficult to approach than others, or have you had a good response from everybody you've approached?
Well, we've had a good response. We also put it in the forum, put a little announcement saying, if you make us a sketch card, we'll send you 100 of your printed cards. And you know, a lot of the artists went ahead and sent in cards, and they're like, wow, this is a great idea. And we only keep, it's only 150 cards of each card being printed. So,
yeah.
You know, we send them 100, and we just keep 50 to give away. And like I said, it's mainly for the artists.
Have any of the cards you've had back in response surprised you in what the artist has actually done with your mascot? Because the range of styles is quite varied.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite part, is to see how different they can be. And the artists are all different and all great. Every single card we've gotten is really awesome.
There's a range of, ranging from, I mean, I'm just flicking through some of the ones that you've been very kind enough to send me, and there's a range of styles from sort of almost photorealistic through to comic and cartoony styles. Do you have any personal favorites, or is that not really something you feel you want to say?
No, I have a few. I like Veronica O'Connell's. That one came out really nice. It's done by pencil. There's Nick. Tom Hodges made a card. Elaine Bedna's card. I haven't printed it yet, but it's being printed soon. That one's pretty good. The one I made of Goonie Tunes, the very first card in the series, that was one of our favorites because I like the whole tattoo, and she looks very, I don't know, like angry girl or something.
Yeah, she's almost sneering at the...
Yeah.
So, have you had anything back that you thought, I can't pull that out?
Oh, no, not yet anyway. No. they all look very good, and we were able to print them, and they all came out great.
Yeah. You have had some promos featuring Bela Lugosi. How did that come about?
Well, there's that particular artist, Robert Aragon, he was one of the sketch artists that we made an offer to, but in the beginning we said you can either draw just a girl or draw a monster. And he had this painting that he was selling prints for that he had gotten permission from the Bela Lugosi people who owned that license, and he wanted to promote it, and I said, yeah, sure, go ahead and send it in, and he did, and we went ahead and printed the card. It came out to be a really nice card.
It is, because that's unique amongst a lot of the cards in that it's sort of a holofoil background to that one. So it really has a startlingly different look to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've made several cards. We've made a Pranky Products card. We've done a Cavewoman card, Hellboy, Vampirella. We've done a bunch of different cards. And basically, we just go to the creators and we ask them, hey, you know, if we help promote you, will you let us do a card of your character? And most of them are real gracious, and they say, yeah, sure, go ahead, and I send them some of the cards too so they can check them out and give them away.
Yeah, sure. Now, obviously, you've mentioned you're up to about 25 of these cards now, so there are people, I assume, who actively collect these things. Have you had much feedback from the collectors on the cards you're doing?
Oh, yeah. Everyone who looks at them say they love them. What I tend to do is do something a little special and grab something from the front of the card, from the sketch card image itself, and I put it along the back and make like a special design, and it ends up looking like a really good card.
Yeah, well, I'll just say, I mean, I've got a few of them here, and they are stunning, and they all have different finishes. Some of them are full gloss, some of them, as you say, you've taken a detail from the picture on the front and used that as a gloss backing, and some of them are glossy on the front, some of them are glossy on the back. You've really gone to town on the design on these things.
Yeah, I'm thinking of keeping them non-glossy. I'm thinking of just going that way. There was a printing issue with the first 9, so we just let them stay glossy. But from now on, I think I'm going to print them non-glossy, because it makes the sketch card look more like a sketch. You know?
Yeah, they really are exceedingly high quality.
Yeah, we started a printing company called VersaColor Productions. We do the cards under that name, and they come out really well.
So Happy Jack's been going for about 4 years. You're pretty much entirely online as a business, is that right?
Yes, entirely online. Happy Jack. Collectibles.com. We were on eBay for a while, but a lot of the collectors have moved away from that, so we close the store there. But from time to time, I'll put an auction or two on eBay. And then we opened another store at tradingcardauctions.com also.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a new site where you can have your own store and also put stuff up for auction. And mainly visiting the forums and talking, you know, leaving messages for the artists and for card collectors and stuff and letting them know what's available, what's new, and there's a sale going on and things like that.
Yeah, very much word of mouth. I mean, which is, I suppose, the way a lot of dealers actually sort of get started and keep going is you build up a base of collectors and customers and keep them talking to each other and give them good service.
Yeah, basically that's the way we do it.
Yeah. Obviously, you've got a fairly extensive back catalog. Is there anything you've noticed that is particularly selling well? What are your big sellers?
Well, since we mainly deal with promo cards, it's just in our particular niche, it's the rare stuff, the stuff that's hard to find, the really obscure items. Those are the things that sell the best.
Yeah, so things that were maybe show exclusives or there were only 10 of them ever got escaped from the manufacturers and never got seen again.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, you mentioned the set is that the promo cards, you're up to number 25, and you've got a couple of others, I think you said, that you're in the process of printing. But that's by no means the end of it, is it? You're still actively seeking artists to participate.
Yes, yes. Recently, we gave a special offer to all the sketch card artists out there. Anyone who draws the color sketch card of a Jester Girl and mails it in will get 100 of their cards printed and mailed to them for free.
Mm-hmm.
once they are printed. And you can just send an email to info@happyjackcollectibles.com, and we'll send you all the details.
And what I'll do is I'll make sure there's a link to that on the links page of the CarCast website as well. Do you anticipate the set being more or less an endless one? As long as you can get artists to contribute, you'll keep doing them, or do you see an end, a finite end to the set?
No, I mean, as long as there's artists that come forward, we're just going to keep printing them as long as we can. As of right now, we've had over 70 artists respond, and we printed about 25 of the first promo cards in the series, and it's just going to be ongoing until maybe I get too busy and continue. But even then, I might start it up again. It's just going to keep on going.
Just to keep going. So this could be the world's largest set of promos. I mean, I know Inkworks put out large numbers of promos for single sets, but this could go on and on and on.
Yeah, this will be the world's first ongoing promo card.
Well, exactly, yes. It's going to be fascinating to see how it develops, and especially given that there are so many new artists coming into the area as well.
Yeah, we get artists from all over the world, actually, who write to us in Spain and Ireland and South America, and I'm surprised. They come from everywhere.
Well, they're all hiding out there in their garrets, scribbling away, and then they see an opportunity to show the world what they've got, then it's a good opportunity, and your cards are a good opportunity to be seen. You give these out whenever anybody makes a purchase from Happy Jack Collectibles. Have any of the cards run out yet, or have you still got stocks in?
Some of the first ones, of the first nine, they're starting to go, you know, a little low. They're starting to get a little low because we sent a bunch of them to a convention recently, and I think it was the Baltimore show.
Right.
And we sent a lot of them out there, and they were giving them away over there.
So it's entirely possible that in a little while, maybe a year or so's time, you might find yourself being the only dealer who doesn't have the early Happy Jack collectibles.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I assume you're not, because obviously each card is marked as not for resale. I assume these aren't cards that you'll be selling yourself at some point unless you get them back in.
Yeah, exactly. They just go out and, you know, other people, you know, of course, they'll sell them and you'll be able to find them, I'm sure. But yeah, once they're all given away, you know, we won't sell them or anything else.
Yeah, so, but you're keeping one at least for yourself, for your own personal collection, yeah?
Yeah, of course, at least five, probably.
Oh, good. I'd hate to think of you having to go out onto eBay to try and find your own promos.
Yeah. And for the CardCast members, we're offering an exclusive card from the series drawn by an artist called Axbone.
Oh, wow.
He's a really great artist who's currently working on the Treasure Chest and Booty Pirate Girl card set.
Mm.
And he did a card, and it looks really great. It's one of our best cards that we've received. And the card's completely free, and it's only exclusive to CardCast members. You know, if you're listening to this broadcast, all you have to do is send a self-stamped envelope to Happy Jack, Box 17344, San Antonio, Texas, 7A217 in the USA.
Right.
And with an, all it has to say is it has to have a note that says free Axbone card. And yes, the offer is available to people living overseas as well.
Right, because obviously they won't be able to send you a stamp stress envelope. Will you be okay with taking an international reply coupon if people can send one of those in?
Yes, we receive those as well. Yes.
I'm sure. Given the international nature of the collectible world, I'm sure someone knows someone in America who could probably get a stamp stress envelope or whatever. Thank you. That is an incredibly generous offer, and I'm so pleased you're able to offer that. Thank you very much. You'll be getting one from me in due course.
Okay.
And what I'll do is I'll put that contact information on the front page of the CarCast website again. So if anybody didn't get the address from listening to the podcast, either rewind or go to the CarCast website as soon as this episode's online, and you'll get the full details of how to apply for that. Now, I mentioned the Bela Lugosi card, the Robert Aragon sketch that you did, that isn't part of the Jack series.
The normal sketch card series,
for want of a better word. Is that going to be the only one of that, or do you have plans to do anything else in that line?
No, as time goes by, we'll have a few others come along for sure. The next card coming out, which should be this month, is a Alice in Wonderland card, and it's drawn by a comic book artist, and it looks really great. It's number 7 in the series.
So you can get that card if people make purchases on the website. If there's anything, if anybody is looking for anything in particular that maybe you don't have, which is possible, can they get in touch with you to see if it's something you might have in stock somewhere or you might be able to get?
Yeah, absolutely. Just send us an email. You can reach, the contact information is there at the site as well, but just send us an email and ask us if we have it or not, because we have thousands of promo cards that aren't even on the site yet, so it's just hard to get everything.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to go and look out their promo cards, place to go to is happyjackcollectibles.com.
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Billy, thank you very much for coming on to CarCast. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, and thank you again for the card offer.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's been great. As I say, if anybody wants to add to their promo collection or see if they can find that promo they're missing, pop along to Happy Jack's website, which is happyjackcollectibles.com. That was Billy Shipley of Happy Jack Collectibles. Next up, Marco Janssen of Katawiki. Regular listeners to the podcast will remember we had Mark DeGroote on a while back. He sent me a recommendation for a website that's of interest to collectors. I had a look, thought it was an excellent idea, and got in touch with the guys who run it. And I am very pleased to say that I have one of the people responsible for the site on the line with me now. That's Marco Janssen. Hi, Marco. How are you doing?
Hey, Paul. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Thank you for agreeing to talk to me from Holland. The website we're talking about here is katawiki.nl. Effectively, it's a Wikipedia, but for collections. How did you come up with the concept?
You're right. It's not only actually katawiki.nl, because you can also try .com or .co.uk. The idea is from my friend Rene, and he's a comic collector. For many years, he has been collecting comic books, and he found out that it would be really nice to have some way to really keep track of your collection. Not only that, but also, for example, to keep track of what's on your wish list, like what are the comic books that you would like to have. And if you have something that is in duplicate, that you can sell it as well. One thing that he found out is that actually for a collector, like a catalog is really important. Because, I mean, there are a lot of catalogs on paper, and they give you an idea about what is there, but they're usually not up to date. So his idea was to come up with an online catalog of things that you can collect. And based on that catalog, you can track your collection, you can track your wish list, and you can also sell things.
So Katawiki is really for anybody that collects anything, effectively.
Yeah, I mean, the thing we found out is that things that are common for somebody who collects comic books are also common for people who collect DVDs or trading cards or stamps. And so we built the site in such a way that we can basically define like a category of things that you can collect. And then we keep track of like the specific details. Mm-hmm. So you can think about, for example, for a book, like an ISBN number is really important. That's, of course, not relevant for a trading card. Mm-hmm. But there are other things like, for example, the strength of a card is more relevant over there. So what we do is that we look for people who are really enthusiastic about a particular type of thing that you can collect. And together we define like what are the things you would like to track in the catalog. Mm. And based on that, we set up like a new category. And that's what we did for trading cards.
But how many people have you got contributing to the site at the moment?
So at this moment, we have about 8,000 people who are a member of the site. What you see is that you have different type of ways how people interact with the site. So you have people who just keep track of their collection, so they're more like viewing what's inside the catalog. But you mentioned already that it's like a wiki concept. the nice thing is that you can also add things to the catalog as well. And we have a very active group of people who are adding things to the catalog. And that's really important for us. And then we have a third group of users who are like moderators, and they review the content that has been added to the site in such a way that we can keep the quality of the catalog high as well.
The key factor about this is entirely user-generated content on this one. I mean,
exactly, yes.
Yeah. You set the template for the way the website is laid out, but as far as the actual collections are concerned, it's down to the individual users to add things there that they want to have a look at and that other people might be interested in.
Yes, yeah. And the idea why the catalog is so important is that, for example, if you look at Magic cards, we have like a huge collection of Magic cards on the site, is that if you want to keep track of your collection, first you look into the catalog if the cards that you have, if they're already in there. And then just with the click of the mouse, you can easily add them to your collection. Mm-hmm. Or you can even add like a complete series at the same time. That's really easy. And then in the case that it's not in the catalog, just with very easily you can add it to the catalog. And by doing that, you help other people as well, because you get a better idea about what is there in a particular area.
Yeah, and having that sort of process minimizes the possibility that there's going to be duplicate items added on the website.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And it's relatively easy to add whole new categories. I mean, obviously we're thinking in particular of the trading cards. I know you're not a trading card collector, but you are a collector, so you know how this works. It's easy enough to add new sets or new subjects or new topics to a particular category. So if a new set came out, you can just add that new set.
Yes, yes. And that's what you see what's happening now as well. So for people, usually you look like if the particular type of cards already in there. If not, you can start a new part for that. But there's already quite a lot of stuff in there that you can easily add to it as well. So that's really easy to do that.
Even though you're mainly based in Holland, it's actually an international project.
Absolutely.
You're looking
yes.
at getting input in from as many people as possible.
Yes. Yeah. So we started in the Netherlands because that's the market that we know very well. In the first year, we started over there. So we started with the comic books, and then we keep adding more categories in there or more different type of things you can collect. And for, I think since 1.5 months, we have now an English version as well. So that's really important for us because it helps to broaden up the group of people who can make use of the catalog, but also can attribute to it as well. And I mean, our vision is we want to have like the biggest catalog of things that there are in the world that you can collect. And
then, yeah.
That's fantastic, and that's why you want to have many people who can use the same system.
When I was speaking to Mark, the group, last year, he was talking about the very big show you have over there. He said that is really, it's not just a card show or a comic show, it's a collector's show. Several halls and...
Yes. I think you're referring to the one in Utrecht.
The Utrecht one. I know Harris Tozer from Non-Sport Update magazine, who appears on the show on a regular basis, has exhibited at that show. And he was amazed by how many halls there are, each with completely different things that people can collect. Katowiki reflects that. You have people who collect records, DVDs, books, comics, cards. What are some of the more unusual things you have listed in Katowiki?
Well, let me think. I think one of the first things I was really surprised about is that people collect safety cards from airplanes. You know, the one with the instruction what to do if the airplane crashes?
Really? They're fairly standardized.
Well, you know, they are different for every type of plane, right?
So right.
There's a beautiful collection of cards in there, but also the ones, the air sickness bags, are collected as well. Of course, they are not used, but they are in there.
I should hope not. Yeah, it's something. Someone will collect anything, I suppose.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, like if you look at the show in Utrecht, it is so diverse what people are collecting, and they're really funny and interesting things.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you look at the collection for the records, for example, there are like somebody who collects all the singles of the Eurovision Song Contest, and they're in there, and that's really nice. Yeah.
Mm.
So that's good.
That's the thing. I think it's fairly common amongst most collectors. If they collect one thing, they probably collect more than one thing. In my conversations with people in the past on this podcast, collectors of trading cards may well also collect comic books, or they may well collect Star Wars memorabilia, or they will collect...
Exactly, yes.
And so on.
Yeah, we have something very nice for that, because the thing is that all these different categories or things that you can collect are not isolated, because you can relate to them as well. So you mentioned, for example, Star Wars.
Yeah.
You have very nice cards regarding Star Wars, but you also have like toys that are related to Star Wars, and you have DVDs that are related. So what we see is that, for example, if people collect things about Star Wars, they can completely track their complete collection in all these different type of categories that are there as well. It often gives very interesting results, because we have in the comic collection, we had other people who added telephone cards, you know, the prepaid cards that you
use. Oh, yes, I remember those, yes.
There was one trader who put all his telephone cards on our site, And I think within a very short amount of time, all his cards related to Tintin, that's a very famous comic figure, were completely sold out because people, the comic collectors found out about these telephone cards because we related them together.
That was one of the key attractions of Wikipedia itself, which is the granddaddy of all these things, is you go on thinking, oh, I'll have a look at this one subject, and then you see something else related to it, and you spin off with that, and you can spend hours following links and links and links and links and looking at all sorts of bits and pieces.
Yes.
And I suspect Katawiki has the same sort of potential for whiling away the hours. I know when I went on there a while back, if anybody that knows me knows, I've been trying to build up a collection of Thunderbirds trading cards.
Oh,
and I went on to Katawiki to add some of my Thunderbird cards and did a search to see what was out there, and the number of things that came up for Thunderbirds, and I was clicking on them and thinking, oh, I'll have a look at that. No, I really should get back to adding my own cards. No, I'll just have a look at this.
Yeah.
It was an amazing way of a distraction.
And talking about the topic of Thunderbirds, because we have a very famous Thunderbird collection over here in the Netherlands, and he's using Katawiki to show what he has. And so if you look for Thunderbirds, you see this amazing variety of things that he collects. So the cards are in there as well, but also the toys and movies. It's really fascinating to see that.
Yeah, and it's a useful resource, I suspect, for checking up on sites like eBay and checking up on some of the other sales sites. You can refer back to Katawiki to see what's available and what it should have on it and what it should look like.
Well, actually, it goes even beyond that, because, like, on one hand, Katawiki has a lot to do with the way how Wikipedia works about, like, the user-generated content, but there's also, like, a selling site to Katawiki as well. Mm. And the thing is that what we found out is that if you, for example, look at eBay and you look for a particular type of trading card, it might be that five or six people offer that particular card on eBay. Mm. But you don't know exactly if it is the same card, because they made the same pictures maybe, but they made maybe different descriptions.
Yes.
And what we did was that with Katawiki, we give you the possibility to sell your items based on the catalog. So what you do is, instead of like writing an ad on eBay, you go into the catalog, you look for a particular card that's in there, and you say, hey, this card, I'm going to put it on sale, and I'm going to charge maybe like €5 for this particular card.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing that happens then is that when somebody browses the catalog, they see, hey, this particular card is also on sale for this particular price. And what happens now is that we also create like almost like a transparent marketplace, because if multiple people put the same card on sale on Katawiki, you can exactly see what are the price differences over there.
Right.
And that's very fascinating, because like with traditional sites like eBay, you don't have that, because they're all different ads, and you don't relate them together.
No.
But you relate them together.
And because it's based on the Katawiki database, the information about them is standard, so you know exactly which card you're talking about or
exactly
which card you're looking at.
Yes.
That's an interesting idea. You did mention the sales aspect of the thing before, and I should really touch upon the cost of membership. It's effectively free to sign up and add your collection, isn't it?
That's correct, yes. Yes. So what we do is that keeping track of your collection, adding things to collect, but that's all for free. At this moment, selling via the site is for free as well, but we're planning within a couple of months to introduce a system where if you are like somebody who sells often, then we're going to charge a small percentage of the fee,
right,
of the price that you have sold. But like for you as a collector, it will stay free. We have some ideas where we want to build some really nice features. For example, if you want to have a special mobile app where you might pay a little bit for that, but the basic functionality is all for free.
You mentioned earlier wish lists. Obviously, it's something that a lot of collectors, when they go to shows or when they go to dealers, like to have with them. How does that actually work as far as the Katawiki site is concerned?
The way how it works in Katawiki, it's similar like how you keep track of your collections. So what you do is you look into the catalog for the things that you are looking for, and with one click of the button, you add them to your wish list. And then, if you want, you can export that to Excel. So you have your own that you can take with you to a show, for example, or to a dealer.
Yeah.
But we also have something else, is that the moment somebody puts a particular item that's on your wish list on sale on Katawiki, you get an instant notification by email about that event. So it will tell you, hey, the item or the trading card from Star Wars that you're looking for is now for sale for this and this price at this person. And if you're interested, have a look.
Right. So is that automatically on by default? Because obviously I can see some people with particularly busy collections getting swamped with emails.
Yes, yes. No, you can, in your profile, you can select if you want that or
right.
Not. So that's, you can turn it off. But a lot of people have it. It's a really nice way to just know if something that's what you're looking for is available.
And it's a better idea, a better way of doing it than on eBay, where I think at the moment you have to run a search and trying to remember, and they send you emails every so often if you turn it on, but they tend to be fairly vague and of things that are only of a slight connection to the thing you're actually looking for.
And with this, you can be very specific about what you're looking
for. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Obviously, there are privacy issues with most websites. What sort of restrictions have you got on privacy? Because obviously, people are looking carefully at how they're protecting their personal information.
That's a good question. A lot of people ask that. We have a couple of things for that. First of all, in order to sign up, all you need is like a username and a password and an email address.
Right.
So we see that a lot of people will already choose for a name that's not Paul, but this may be like Thunderbird Collector number 20, something like that, you know? So already an impersonal name. The other thing is that you have the possibility to decide if other people can see your collection or not. So if you have like a private or like a public collection.
Right.
And that's very handy because a lot of people, well, they have like a very specialized collection. They don't want to make sure other people can see that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way to hide that. But the interesting thing is a lot of people also like to show off what they have. So we have a couple of users who have actually two accounts. One is for their big private collection, and they have a small public collection that they would share with other people.
Yeah.
So you can choose what you want, actually.
Yeah, I think it's the big thing amongst most collectors is that what's the point in having the collection if you can't show off to somebody about your prizes occasionally?
Yes.
You mentioned earlier that anybody can add anything, effectively. Are there restrictions on the sort of things that people can add? Because obviously, again, the wonderful world of the internet and some of the odd things that people collect, there are all sorts of taboos in different countries about what is and what isn't acceptable.
Yes, I think you refer to things like adult content, right?
Adult content, or I'm thinking obviously as far as fairly recent European history is concerned, I know some countries have restrictions on certain symbolism and certain political images being displayed or used.
Well, let's go into the adult content bit first, because that's something that's not the place to be on the Katowice issue.
We don't
want to have another place where you can track that type of information.
Yeah.
But always there's like a blur thing. Sometimes you see that with trading cards as well. It's like, it's not really adult content, but you know, it's somewhere in between.
Mm.
And at this one, the moderators play a very important role in that. So it's just like common judgment to see if you can edit there or not.
Yeah.
I think maybe in the future we'll have some feature where you can flag an item, say, hey, I think this is not the perfect place for it. But at this moment, we see that our moderators are very active and very responsible for what they're doing. So we haven't had any issues with that. We have some moderators who will look into the whole area,
mm-hmm.
and others who, for example, are just specialized in magic cards or in like Star Wars mm-hmm. cards. And we have a quite advanced tool set for the moderators that they can use to basically do their moderation work. So they can exactly see like what has been previously been added, and they can also review items and reject them if necessary. So that's a very easy way to moderate the content, basically.
Yeah, that is done based purely on personal opinion, or are there a set of guidelines or recommendations on what should and what shouldn't be accepted?
Yeah, so what we do is that we have some general guidelines for the whole catalog,
mm-hmm.
but what you see is that the moderators will define some specific guidelines for their particular area as well.
Yeah.
And we have a special forum for moderators where they can discuss these topics. And for example, if something has been added, they say, I'm not sure if this is the right way to do it, they can discuss about it as well.
Right.
And I mean, and they're very passionate people, so it's really interesting to see how much good work they put into that to make it like a really good catalog.
You said you had about 8,000 or so members. Are they mostly in the Netherlands, or have you got a fairly good mix internationally?
Well, like I said, we only started just a couple of months with the English version, so most of the people are in the Netherlands.
Mm.
But it's really good to see more people getting in. For example, we have one new category. It's for people who collect tea bags. That's also like a world in itself.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but tea bags?
Really, it's like over there, I mean, people are also very passionate about what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt you. And I shouldn't really laugh, because I'm sure there are people out there who think you collect bits of cardboard, you know.
So there we have somebody from the Netherlands, from Italy and Portugal who are together driving that. And I think they started maybe like 6 or 7 weeks ago, and they already added more like 5,000 tea bags.
5,000? I didn't realize there were so many different types.
Oh, you don't know. No, that's really, really good.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So, and obviously, the longer the site goes on, the more you're hoping to get an international crowd.
And trading cards, of course, is a very international.
Trading cards is a truly international hobby. A lot of people tend to think it's mainly America, but I know particularly Italy and Spain, interestingly, that they have companies producing their own ranks of cards. And I know the Far East has got a substantial interest in that. So presumably you're aiming at broadening the membership to cover all sorts of different countries.
Absolutely, yeah. Have you seen the Liebig cards that we just recently added to the site?
I haven't, no. What are those?
Well, you need to have a look into it. It's really beautiful. These are cards, I think they're originally from France and Belgium. If you look in the trading card section, actually, they're the second one. And the cards are they're really, really beautiful old pictures in there. And there's a big group of collectors in, I think, especially in Belgium and France, who collect them. And we were very lucky to meet somebody who has he sells them, and he has a website with all the images of all these cards. Based off that, we made a catalogue with his information. It's really beautiful.
And I'll post a link to those on the links page of the CarCast website. Where next for Katowice? You mentioned you have some plans to expand some of the areas. What's the next thing on the list?
The English tourism that we've kicked off is that's just a start. So there's a lot of work that we want to continue to expand it and get more categories also in English available as well. So that's a very big step for us. Mm-hmm. The other step that we're working on is that we see that we have more and more people who are almost professionally actually selling via our site. And we want to give them like even better ways to have their own shop. So, for example, at this moment, you can have like a standalone shop where you can sell, for example, trading cards based out of the catalog of Katowiki, but you can make it like your personal site.
Yeah.
So we already built in features like you have a shopping cart in there as well, but there are going to be much more advanced features for the people who collect there as well. So that's one thing. Or who sell there as well. We are looking for a feedback system where people keep track of what is the quality of somebody who sells things via the website.
So that's a good idea. Yeah.
Another interesting thing to mention that we found out is that although people like to have their own collection on the computer, actually they also would like to have sometimes almost like a booklet of their collection. Mm-hmm. So we made this very nice thing where you can actually print in full color like a book with your own collection with the cards in there as well.
Oh, right, yes.
It's almost like your personal catalog that you have there. So that's really interesting. We have now a Dutch version of that as well. So we'll make an English version of that. We have a deal with a print company. That's by the side, and it looks really, really beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other thing we're working now is a version for your iPhone as well, where you can, like if you are on a trade show or if you are somewhere, you can always have a look in what's your collection or what's on your wish list. So that's very convenient if you are on the way.
That's something I know a lot of people, especially in the trading card world, ask for. I mean, my iPod Touch always goes with me whenever I go to a show.
Exactly.
Mainly because I have a microphone with it and I use it to record impromptu interviews. Yes. But I do have a fairly basic list program on there, but that is little more than a list of cards, whereas an application that shows you the pictures of the cards as well. I want that, I want that, I want that. And that would be amazingly useful.
Yeah. And that's so we already have that. We're testing at the moment. It looks really, really nice. So that's a nice extension to the site as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, like, if you look in our forum, I mean, our users have so many ideas about how we can even add more nice things to the list. So we have plenty of ideas.
So the forum is open to any member, is it?
Absolutely, yes. At this moment, the forum is still in Dutch, but we work on an English version as well.
Okay, well, we should really once again plug the URL for the site. Katowiki.nl is the one that I mentioned at the start, but you've also got katowiki.com. .co.uk. These are just basically any of the URLs will go to the same wiki site. They don't have their own individual versions of the site on each one.
No. That's also very important for us. The way we do it is that if you look at the English version of Trading Cards and the Dutch version, it's all the same database. So if you add something to the English version, then the Dutch users can see it as well, and the other way around.
And there are very easily clickable buttons to select the language for the text of the website, so you can have a click on one of those and read it in the language you're most comfortable
people with.
Exactly. Yeah, that's really easy.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, Marco, once again, thank you for coming on to talk about Katawiki.
Thank you.
It's an excellent project, and it's something that I know a lot of people have been looking for some years. So every success with it, and I certainly will be going on there again as soon as I can find some time to start adding some of my various collections to.
Very good. To the listeners of the podcast, if you look into the trading card section, and there are cards, if your own collection is not in there, then please help us out to make it a really nice catalogue of trading cards.
As Marco said, if anybody has any interesting additions, this could be the perfect opportunity to build up as comprehensive a list as possible.
Yes, and the nice thing is that because together you work on it, so it's not like you have to do everything yourself, but together you build a really nice catalogue.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Marco, thank you for that. And if anybody wants to go and have a look at it, it's katawiki.com. That was Marco Jansen talking about Katawiki, and I strongly recommend you go and have a look at what should become a really strong online resource for collectors of all sorts. My thanks to Marco and to Billy Shipley of Habitat Collectibles for coming on to the podcast. My thanks also to Billy for making the amazing offer of that exclusive promo card. You'll find more information about that offer on the CarCast website, where you will find more information about everything to do with UK CarCast, including links to any and all of the websites and products mentioned in this podcast. You can find that information at carcast.co.uk. You can also follow UK CarCast on Twitter. If you go to twitter.com/UKCarCast or follow at UK CarCast. You'll also find me on Facebook. If you do a search for UK CarCast, you should find we've got a fan page and there's a group devoted to all things UK CarCast. There's also a blog, of course, which is on Blogger. That's Life in a Cardboard World. If you do a search for Life in a Cardboard World, or if you go to the CarCast website, you should find a link. Next episode will be a Chris Cozy special. UK CarCast is recorded using Pamela for Skype Professional on a Windows XP PC. It is edited using Audacity and is compiled using GarageBand on an Apple Mac G4. Recorded using a Logitech USB headset. Music is provided by Sapphire Moon. Web services are provided by Google Sites, Amen World, and 1&1. Email provided by Google Mail. MP3 hosting is provided by the Internet Archive at archive.org. UK CarCast is released under a Creative Commons license. For more information about the Creative Commons license, please visit the website at carcast.co.uk. Well, that's it for episode 26. Episode 27 will be available in a couple of weeks. Until then, remember, one pack is not enough. Okay, I'll help you Katawiki head.